This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Hey guys, I'm Lucas Neff.
I'm Barry Rothbart.
Hey, it's me, Flula Bo-
Oh,
yep, no,
that's
right
Flula
on time.
Borg.
Yeah, for
He's
an episode.
Our guest on
Get High and Save the World.
Where we actually do save the world, talking about philanthropy.
Oh, snapadocious.
And planets made of chocolate.
Jupiter.
And environmental pornography.
Yes.
Environmentally friendly pornography.
So tune in.
That Scott Pruitt wouldn't approve of.
Oh,
wouldn't approve of.
Oh.
Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Get high and save the world.
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12 original cassette tapes delivered to your door. Each month, you'll receive a crisp new cassette tape of auditory delights made by some of the most funky and creative artists around. Featuring Dino Stamatopoulos, Natalie Palamides, Johnny Pemberton, Dan Harmon, future Ladies of Wrestling, Alan Resnick and Dina Kelberman, Dynasty Handbag, Jeff B. Davis, Rob Schraub, Lance Bangs, DJ Doug Pound, Kron, Open Mike Eagle, Ron Lynch, and on and on. And on. Subscribe now. $13 gets you a crisp, unique tape in the mail each month. For $20, you receive a portable cassette player so you can listen to your tapes on the go. Here's how to order.
For credit card customers, please call 747-888-0945. That's 747-888-0945. Or save COD charges and log onto the World Wide Web at d.rip/SBI-PRESS.
It's a good deal.
Feral Audio. Hi, welcome to Suicide Buddies on Feral Audio. Before we get started with the episode, we just want you to know this is a show where we joke around about suicide because we've had suicidal thoughts and dealt with it in our friends and family a lot. So we deal with it by joking around about it. We're not joking because we don't think it's a serious matter. So if you're depressed, feeling suicidal, please stop this podcast right now and call 1-800-273-TALK. They're there 24 hours a day and they will help you through it. They're great. You have other options. You are loved. I promise you. Because I love you.
Dude, that is one of my favorite sound bites of all time. Drop.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Suicide Buddies. Yep, that's the start. Dave Ross giving a nice Beastie Boys reference.
You did it, man.
Yeah, but that was off mic. Now we're rolling.
No, we're keeping both in.
Guys, this is the podcast, Suicide Buddies, and we just named it. We just titled this thing.
It was going to be called Suicide Dads.
Yeah.
Which is honestly still might be. But
by the end of this podcast, we really might waver. I have zero conviction as this podcast will.
The current name
illustrate.
Is Suicide Buddies.
I love it. I love that we just titled it right before.
I do too.
It's like writing the name of the ship right before, like, we're going to America. Like,
you hear, I've heard so many stories from bands that didn't have a name, and then they got a show, and they were like, what's your band called? And then they had to come up with a name, which I think is so interesting that they just didn't. Yeah, yeah.
I think bands are easier to title than podcasts. I'll just say it, because we threw out like 100 great band names that'll never see the light of day. Number
Suicide Dads is a great fucking band name, man.
But Big Diarrhea?
Big Diarrhea is really good.
And thank God we didn't do that.
Diarrhea Suicide.
Title of the podcast. But I mean, we're doing a suicide podcast, Dave, aren't we?
You're damn right we are, Hampton.
I mean, we're setting it off.
Yeah.
We both enjoy this topic. I mean, honestly, it's the thing I like to talk about joke about. It's a natural go-to is like I'd make a joke like, or maybe I'll just like shoot myself in the head, like,
yeah, yeah,
you know.
I've thought about it a lot too, because people give us shit for it.
Yeah, man, it's great. No,
yeah, like every now and then you come across someone who just gets really upset that you think suicide is funny, and
they're
honestly, I think, just because they're not there. they're just not there with me, man. I think about suicide all the time.
Yeah, they haven't lived your life by your side to get why it's so funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I find it funny because I just think about it seriously
all the time.
All the time, like it comes up. It's a very natural thing for me to think about logically.
Even when I'm happy, and I'll bet you're like this too, even when I'm happy, I think about it lightly. Because I think I'm so used to actually considering it as a way out. Now when I'm okay, and I'm very happy now, it'll be like one thing goes wrong and I'm like, oh God.
No, I used to do that too. Like, I would get really bummed out when really great things were happening, like in career or life, and I would start crying. And the thing was, I realized is like, I hated feeling more like attachment to like,
oh wow,
like there's now legitimate reasons to stay in. If you're like, sure, a loser and there's nothing to live for, like it kind of, I mean, you know, the evidence can start to stack up. But if you're like, wow, I actually am doing well in this thing, yet I still have this depression.
Well, there's this added thing
add up
too,
to say,
like,
you know,
part of it is like the love of the chase, right? You learn, like, I learned that about myself, that I like to be the underdog. I like to the trying.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you're like, starts to go well, then you're part of, you start feeling like maybe you're part of the problem.
Yeah, like, you start to realize like, wait, I'm the problem with society.
I can no longer rage against anything. And there's another thing, like, I have a big problem with like being a failure, being nothing, being something that people like, thinking of myself as someone people don't like and look down on was a lot of my identity.
Yeah.
And so feeling better, feeling healthier, feeling like I have friends and people like me and love me is like, well, then who am I?
Yeah, exactly.
That was all I could grab onto for a long
I've
time.
I've had that exact same conversation with Jonah Ray. Like, I
really
think we kind of figured it out that is like a true mentality when you build up your ego as like, well, I'm the guy who's the underdog. I'm the guy who's getting shit on and stuff. It's like, suddenly just doesn't, you know, when that starts to shift, like, say you want to make positive changes in your life.
Yes.
You know, like all these good things. You're like, wait, now my identity doesn't make any sense.
You start to embrace the sadness.
So I have to mess up relationships and I have to,
totally,
you know, like go towards bad, you know, toxic ones, you know.
Dude, I mean, and that's like, I think we're talking about a thing that keeps people depressed and keeps people considering suicide their whole life. Because you, like, I think even when you are becoming healthier, I think we're both getting happier and happier, more content, able to feel positive things. You still have this like wealth of history and sort of like synaptic connections in your brain built up that without you even realizing it, try to turn your current relationships into your old ones. I noticed myself doing that.
I've been feeling that kind of recently where I'm like, am I doing some stuff that like, because I've had relationships where I was feeling so bad about multiple different things, but just while inside the relationship, like allowing myself to be like, I should just kill myself. Like, that's more logical to me than adjusting my relationships around me. It's more logical for me to just take myself out of the equation or something like that. But speaking to like, say, anybody who's like a creative and stuff, like there's this huge fear, especially in like comics, where they're like, well, if I go to therapy, Like, then they're going to take away the dark, funny part of me.
Man, that's such bullshit.
Therapists will tell you, and mine did, where it's like, no, all the stuff that, like, made you you, all that machinery, it's in place.
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Your mind will still be able to create.
Also, what an insane thought.
Even if you're happy. Even if you're happy. You know what I mean?
Imagine, let's say, in some crazy world, that going to therapy reprogrammed your brain and took away all the darkness and pain. Why wouldn't you want that?
No, dude, I've got 10 minutes about killing myself. That crushes at the Laugh Factory, crushes at the Improv,
dude.
Comedy Store, Belly Room, Main Room, Original Room.
I'm completely happy, so I can't do stand-up anymore, and I think I have to have, like, a really high-paying normal job and a good family. Yeah. Like,
the reason I'm not, like, a successful businessman is because the only thing that is the parameters built up for me to have a career around my depression and inability to deal with others is comedy. It's stand-up. You know what I mean? But it's like, if I was just a together human being, I could have been like a courier or a pizza delivery driver. I was like pretty good at those jobs. and I don't like need a lot of money. It seems like it would have been fine.
The other thing about that thing of going to therapy and it's going to make you take away your darkness is like, for me at least, like, I'm at my best and connecting with the audience most and making people laugh the most when I'm having a lot of fun. And I have the most fun when I'm the happiest, when I feel like the world is safe for me, you know? And so, like, yeah, I don't know. I can't encourage people enough to go to therapy.
Yeah. I think comics also definitely built up this persona of the dark, you know? Like, I'm just so dark. It's like, because we all got in trouble for making, like, inappropriate jokes or something when we were kids. But it's like, it's not like you're Jack the Ripper, you know, like you're actually a dark soul.
Yeah.
Like, we really like build up this like persona which is larger than ourselves.
Totally.
But to be fair, like, I don't want to say I don't like, but it's more like I can't understand people who have just never contemplated it.
Yes.
I'm always like, that seems insane to me.
Like,
to
it never came
life
up for you?
Yeah, you seem happy. Like, anybody who's like, I became a dad at 22, and, you know, I got my kid. I love being a dad. Like,
yeah,
just like,
totally.
Man, life is awesome. We go to the lake.
Every Sunday in my family, we celebrate Easter.
And I can't say 100% of that guy's happy, but I mean, I don't know. The defensiveness seems a little like,
I honestly think, I have a joke about this, sorry, about a real thing that happened to me, which is when I was 14 years old, I had a dream where I fucked my dad in a dream.
Some dreams come true, Dave.
This one, well, it's my only true dream. It always grosses people out, and that makes sense to me. But some people react to it as if they're like, you're weird.
Yeah.
And I think that's so interesting because I don't think everyone has had a sex dream about someone in their family, but I do think that everyone has had a weird sex dream about someone in their life. And like, the people that are rejecting it in that way, just like with suicide, I do think everyone's considered it. I just don't think a lot of people have processed that they consider it.
I think,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that
I think that they're rejecting
answer. But I also like to believe that they're just boring. They're boring people
sure.
who don't have, like, I would say there's kind of a predilection towards like a high IQ or something and you getting depressed, right? And therefore suicide.
Right.
And I think people who are like just boring, like not a lot going on,
right.
like they've simplified their thought processes. They don't analyze things, especially in the way, you know, like you're talking about.
That's
like
a
they
good
don't
point.
Process these things.
You know, it is
isn't
like
that the same as not thinking about it almost, you know?
Without being too much of a dick about it, it is absolutely a simplistic thought that joking about suicide is wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, right.
Because what you're thinking is, well, you just think it's funny that someone kills themselves, and it's like, of course I fucking don't. But
death, I also do.
But I also kind of do. Because death, I was trying to explain this to a friend once, like, they're like, what's the funniest thing to you? And I said, death. And they were like, death isn't funny. And I was like, death is funny. Someone dying isn't funny.
Yeah.
But death, as a concept, is funny.
It's hysterical.
Because, like,
it's such a punchline.
When your life ends, what are you, nuts? That's what it is?
Yeah. You know, there's so much going on with it. It's like, you know, with life, you know, there's only very few guaranteed things. And so one is you're definitely going to die.
Yeah.
You're 100% going to die. And it's kind of, it can be your choice, but it can also not be your choice. And it's like, therefore, it's like, there's so much like irony involved with like suicide or something like that. Or
yeah.
Just like, you know, like kind of like slice of life, almost commentary, you know, like going on.
Suicide is especially funny to me because once you realize that there is suicide, then you go through your entire life knowing there's a button you can push.
Yeah, exactly. The moment is like you realize this fact about your body. There's
yeah.
like a, there's a switch that you have. You know, oh, I could turn off that switch.
Right.
At any point. And not have to deal with all of the problems.
Yeah. And simultaneously. And so, like, every day for me is weighing the good and the bad. And, like, yeah, that's what it's doing. Get rid of all the problems. You'd be getting rid of all the problems. You'd also be getting rid of all of the good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's what's funny about it almost to me. But it's also, like, what people, like, advise. They're like, well, it's a, you know, it's a very permanent solution to, like, a temporary
problem. Right.
Stuff like that. But I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, that's kind of funny that we just lose our minds, get like way over dramatic about things and take a horrifyingly like over, you know, simplification to like the problems.
And this is why I think it's important for Hampton and me to talk about the reasons we think suicide is funny. And listening to this show, we're going to repeat that a lot because it's,
maybe.
I think so, because it's important for me, for you to know, listening to the show, that we're going to be making a lot of jokes about suicide,
yeah.
but it doesn't mean that we think your situation as someone who's depressed or suicidal is funny.
No,
I just think
it's
important to establish that.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
I wouldn't make fun of anybody who's in pain. You know
no,
what I mean?
That'd
be cruel.
Please get help. We'll be listing like suicide hotlines on here and stuff like that and talking about our own depression and how we've considered it. But I personally think bringing these things to light and talking about what drove someone to make such a dramatic and extreme choice in their life is important and would be helpful. It'll help me.
Yep. I think the reason I can be silly about it is because I've had the actual thought of like,
so many times.
Just make it so much simpler for everybody else if I just didn't exist. And the thing I would often say is what would really be easiest for me if I could just like levitate off the planet. It's like I just never existed.
Yeah.
It's like removed out of the equation of human interaction. But now that's a funny thing for me to joke about.
Yeah.
Because I've had the actual thought of it. And it's like the thing I kind of realized, if I have any sort of wisdom about like suicidal thoughts, is that like the thing that's so interesting to me about it is like, yes, it's this huge decision, right? And it like it's so gigantic. So in that same, you know, gigantic decision-making thing, it's like, can't you just, like, kill the parts of your life that are causing you such problems?
You absolutely can. You just don't think so, especially when you're younger.
Yeah.
Everything is so big. I would think part of, like, considering suicide, and there was a period when I was a teenager when I considered it constantly and in a serious way, it was partially vindictive. It was like, well, that'll show them.
I think every suicide note I wrote, it was very like full of just like, now do you feel good?
Yeah, totally.
Look at my blood splattered on the walls, Moms. My room was messy before. Now it's fucking filthy with my brains.
Yeah, those people that called me a bitch will be sad at my funeral. Like, what?
I've reread so many like suicide notes and things I've written like out of anger, and it's.
You have written, how many suicide notes do you think you've written
in my life?
Yeah.
Well, probably not recently, because I did write something which was in that same tone of just like I am being. I realized I have to take, you know, not 24 hours, but just get away from it, come back to it, read it, and then see if you're like whining, like
sure.
You'll self-analyze.
Yes.
You'll go, okay,
I was angry. I needed to vent. I just am complaining for three pages here. I've probably written like 10.
Wow.
Good 10.
I think what you just said is a really nice thing to ask of someone who is truly considering suicide. Like, you know, always ask for help and reach out and just please God don't do it. But if it gets to you writing a note, please do us all a favor and yourself a favor and wait a day.
Write the note. I mean, the whole wait 24 hours, day. You know, whatever. Yeah. It's more like know yourself. Like, take a moment to step away and come back and read your own writing and go, Is this truly
a hack?
Or did I? We should go into like what are hacks suicide notes. The police are like, this guy's not even trying. Man. I've seen this material everywhere. Okay, my mom, my dad, everyone hates me. School sucks. The Punisher was a piece of shit. Nothing's good.
Nothing's good. It just says nothing's good.
Nothing is good. There's something also about, like, I was looking up some suicide statistics. You know, trying to get boned up for the show.
Boned.
Let's put in the spring sound effect now.
We should call this suicide bone.
But, yeah, like, interesting facts about it. And, like, you know, men, of course, kill themselves more than women. More so because we take a very violent way of killing ourselves, I found out. It's like, it's mostly gun or hanging or asphyxiation, right? Or some other form of asphyxiation. And women tend to take pills.
Oh, wow.
And the thing that happens is it takes a long time or your body rejects it. So there's this whole another window of time that you can be saved. You can have second thoughts.
Oh, wow.
Like, I just can't do it. And like, you know, like take the most violent, quick way.
Yeah.
Just saying like, dudes, if you would just slow your roll.
Yeah.
You know, start to really enjoy your suicide.
Feel it.
If you're a dude, I'm saying light some candles.
We were also talking about, and I think that this is actually accurate. The format of our show, like formatically, it's similar to My Favorite Murder in the sense that we're going to take a suicide from history every episode and break it down, and they take a murder from history and break it down, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about that show is hosted by two women. This show is hosted by two men. And the fact that we have like more of like a male feel and they have a more feminine feel.
This wasn't intentional.
First of all, it wasn't intentional.
Crazy.
And we did come up with this idea before even knowing about My Favorite Murder, which is funny how unplugged we are as people. But also, they're really, you're really into murder. We're really into suicide. And I truly think it's because each of those is the biggest threat to our own gender. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's a really interesting thought.
Yeah.
Because, okay,
women are more likely to be like cold case file nerds than men. They just are. I think that we should get into this, our first ever suicide in history we're going to talk about after a break.
I agree. And before we take a break, I want to ask you, Dave, what is your dream suicide?
You know, I never had like I never romanticized it in the manner of doing it and such. The term dream suicide
I'm saying
how I always thought of it.
You have $1 billion budget or higher.
Oh, my God.
And you are going to kill yourself. How does Dave Ross make his last splash?
Honestly, it would not. I'm being honest with you. It would not be epic. I would.
Wow.
In every single way I've ever thought about it, I just got a gun, and that's it. I just bought a gun.
Did you buy the gun? That's some money. Is it a nice gun? Why not get a bazooka?
I don't know, man.
Shoot yourself with a bazooka.
Look, man.
I'm being completely serious.
I have a mental image in my head of a guy holding a bazooka to his forehead. To his temple.
You still Cobain it where you have it the floor up to your jaw and you click it with your,
you know that's
toe.
Actually how Bazooka Joe got his name.
True Hollywood stories. No, that's how he lost his eye, dude.
He shot himself with a bazooka.
And he lost an eye.
Yeah.
Before that, he was Two Eyes Joe.
I mean, I thought... I hear what you're saying, and you might actually have a...
Do you hear what I'm saying?
but are you listening? You hear me, but do you listen?
Do you fucking hear me? You want me to come up with, like, a fantastical...
No. I'm more saying, like, I also have those totally, like... Usually my go-to, and this is the most horrifying, like, this would literally shatter so many lives, would be to just, while I'm driving, I'm always, like, the most sad, and just, like, just...
Turn into traffic, man.
Fuck, man. You know, like, that would just end it in such a horrible way. So, part of my problems with, you know, ever thinking about suicide...
Ooh, I would do it at the VMAs.
Dude, in front of Usher. With a bazooka. In front of Usher, man.
Yeah, my last words ever, just be humble. And then I...
Dude. And so, when I think about suicide, and part of what other people bring up is, like, you don't want to hurt other people. It's this weird thing where you're like, I hate myself. I love everybody else. I don't want to hurt them. So, in my mind, how I could get around that... As if I hired, like, a really high-stakes international assassin.
Oh, wow.
To kill me.
I slide
over the dossier. It's got my photo. And he looks up, and I'm like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's me. It's happening. And
would it be the kind of thing where, like, in the thing, there's some sort of, like, amount of time you have to, like, hide and, like, change your identity?
Exactly.
And he's got to find you?
Well, what I would do is I would make it look like... There's, like, clues showing up where I, like, would show my family and be like, I think someone's trying to kill me.
Wow.
And just make my death look like some massive conspiracy they'll never crack.
And they just think you're the most interesting person who ever lived.
Yeah.
Like,
more interesting than Marilyn Monroe and Ernest Hemingway. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow, I like that a lot.
I mean, that way, there's no one's mad at me.
Yeah.
And I have a really cool death. Worst case scenario, they find out I hired an international assassin, which is pretty cool.
I think I would drink cement.
Holy shit. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You just, like, go to a park and wait until you become a statue.
I would buy $1 billion of cement.
I put on a Confederate uniform and I drench myself in cement in a public park.
Confederate uniform.
I become a Confederate statue.
Oh wow. That's so crazy.
And I just yell out, I'm like, I die for the white people.
Oh my god.
That way everyone's like, good.
Yeah, great.
Good. He's an asshole.
Okay, well, man. Yeah, then no one would be upset. All right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was everything we wanted to basically touch on at the beginning, and we're going to get into a fun.
Yeah, the guy, I'm just going to tease it.
Suicide.
The guy we're going to talk about, his name is Yukio Mishima. He was an author in Japan who died in 1970. I'm really excited.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll take a quick break. What are we
doing?
And
this is Suicide Buddies. Look, man.
Hey, guys, we're back to Suicide Buddies.
Oh, what? You didn't like that? drop, you know? All right, we're
back.
We're talking about.
Hey, guys.
We're going to talk about a guy named Yukio Mishima today. He was an author in Japan who got really popular in the 40s, 50s, and 60s and then killed himself in 1970. And just a little setup about him if you don't know who he is. Yukio Mishima was his pen name. His birth name is Kimitake Hiraoka.
Whoa.
He was, like, a huge author. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature 3 times. He had a big American and European following. He wrote, like, 40 books or something, 30 books. He wrote plays, short stories, essays, things like that. He was also an actor and a model. And he was a Japanese nationalist who got really into, like, working out in a big way at a certain point. He was into weight training and kendo, which is the Japanese art of swordsmanship. And he was gay, and he never came out. But he also wanted children and wanted people to believe that he's not gay.
Oh,
so he
married
this, like, famously beautiful woman who to this day will not admit that he was gay.
She's alive?
I believe so. From what I've read, she is still alive.
You mean, like, to her deathbed? That's
or at least died
sort of recently. And he had two children with her, but he also had a bunch of gay relationships and went to gay bars a lot. And this doesn't seem to have much to do with his suicide, but people say it could be.
I would say.
This is an interesting fact. There's another writer named Jiro Fukushima who in 1951 released a bunch of letters between him and Mishima.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like showing that they had a gay relationship.
Whoa. So he got like exposed publicly?
Yes. And then later, I think after his death, I'm not entirely sure, but later, Mishima's children sued Fukushima for, what's the quote, violation of his privacy and copyright, and they won.
Holy crap.
So publicly, he's, like, legally, he's not gay.
He's legally not gay.
Yeah.
Which is the new Reese Witherspoon movie coming out.
So leading up to his suicide in 1967, he enlisted in the Ground Self-Defense Force, which was Japan's army.
Is this during World War II?
1967. So
oh, sorry.
After World War II. And I think that it was called the Ground Self-Defense Force because they weren't legally allowed to have an armed army. But they had this like National Guard kind of thing.
Gotcha.
He joined that, and then after he went through training in that, he formed this private militia called the Tatenokai, which translates to Shield Society. Whoa. It was a bunch of young students that he trained himself in martial arts and physical discipline, and they swore to protect the Emperor of Japan. That was the point of the Tatenokai.
Dude, he literally, I don't know if you read comic books, he literally created Shield.
Is that what?
That's what
I don't know anything about Shield.
Dude.
So this guy listen.
Made like Shield in 1967.
Like, if you don't know that history of Japan after World War II, General MacArthur and America, our reaction to them was, you have no army,
yeah,
and you have to get rid of the idea of an emperor. Mm. And up until that point, it said in the Japanese constitution that the Japanese emperor was a divine entity. He was a living god, and they were the people of God. And so he led them, and they also worshipped him. So in their new post-World War II constitution, it said it changed what's his name? Hirohito, from, quote, an imperial sovereign to a, quote, constitutional monarch. And that was the main thing that Mishima hated. He hated that. He thought that, like, that ripped out the heart of Japan because they are.
He wanted to go back to, like, the leader's god?
Yes. That's what he thought.
That's remarkably cuck of him.
Yes.
That's remarkably.
It's so bitchy, dude.
Yeah,
it's like, we are God, and he is God, and
he's
why
God?
Is he not God?
Okay, I mean, that's an interesting cause. And I bet he could rally actually a lot of people towards that, because it's all tied into, like, our dignity's gone.
Right.
You know? He used to have a god king.
You would think, but it seems from what I read that only his Shield Society were the people that followed him and believed that.
Uh-huh. How big was it? How big did it get?
It was not that big. I couldn't find much about
it. So it's just like a radical group, you know, like 100 maybe, or
of like nerds. Basically, they're all writers and college kids
who are like, we hate the reboot. Yeah. We like the original version of Japan where the emperor was God.
It is fascinating to me that's a cause to have that, like, because he said that the emperor needed to either stay as our living god or step down entirely and take responsibility for every single Japanese person who died in World War II. That's what he said. Those are the two options. He was like a really extreme guy.
Huh.
By the way, I want to say this real quick. This is an aside, but it's on theme. Hirohito, near the end of World War II, issued a suicide order to the Japanese people in the in the Battle of Saipan. They were losing, and so he was like, rather than get captured and defecting to America, just kill yourself.
That's the most like overkill.
Dude, these are very dramatic people.
Just have you seen their theater? It's very dramatic. That's so funny, dude.
Over 1,000 people.
kill themselves.
Did actually follow through? You would think the military, for sure, because they'll be, like, you know, punished. Their families will be punished if they don't follow through.
Right.
But think of it also, I mean, this, you know, it's almost, like, stereotypical to bring up, but, like, kamikaze fighters. It's like, you know, if you truly believe your leader is God.
Well, in seppuku and samurai, it was, like, laden into their culture.
Honor.
That it's honor, right.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are like, we don't think he's literally God, you know, like that seems hard to convince an entire nation to believe. It's more like a rational sort of thing where you're like, we have this structure where we believe he's God, and it would be a huge dishonor to my family if I didn't kill myself for the army. You know, like my family name would be disgraced.
The country that I love that has supported me.
Yeah, it's like deeper, you know, there's like
more. No, he's God.
And plus the group mentality. It's like, well, everyone else is going to do it. Right. So I guess I should do it.
That's true.
A thousand people killed themselves, man. That's so much follow through.
By jumping off of this suicide cliff.
Whoa!
And there's also another cliff called the Bonsai Cliff. Yeah. Actually, that's Jimmy Cliff's son. It's like... it's actually very peaceful music, man. All right, so let's get into the suicide. Because Hampton, by the way, knows nothing about this.
How did it all fall apart? Because he seems like a guy whose life is... okay, a lot of conflicting, you know, like he's gay, but he's not out. Who knows if that's like such a big deal at the time? It seems like he's getting his fuck on no matter what.
Right.
But then things start to hit the fan.
Also, there is something that happened. I think one of the times he was up for the Nobel Peace Prize, I think it was the last time, his young life mentor won it, and he was like, oh, they're not going to give it to a Japanese person for a while, which is also an interesting wrinkle. I don't know. Yeah, but maybe that contributed to it.
Dear God, of course. People were super racist back then. Like, of course.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So on November 25th, 1970, he tried to institute a coup d'etat against basically the Japanese army that he was once a part of. He and four of his Tatenokai, the Shield Society, I couldn't find out how, but they somehow got into the headquarters of the Eastern Command of the Japan Self-Defense Forces. Whoa. They had some reason to be there. Maybe, I mean, he's like an illustrious writer. Maybe he just got a meeting with them.
Maybe he stormed it.
He didn't storm it because he just went in and he met with the commandant. And while in there, he, like, using knives and, like, heavy blunt instruments, got the rest of the officers out of the room and then tied the commandant to a chair. Oh. And then they had this list of demands that they were yelling to the officers on the other side of the door. They could see through the peephole that their commandant was tied to a chair. They were like... assemble the soldiers in the public square, not the public square, the square below. And the room they were in had a balcony looking over it, like some Hitler shit. And and so they were like, fine. And they did that. They assembled 1,000 soldiers down there. And then he went out and he gave this pre-written speech. And the speech was about how this post-war constitution was hurting Japan, and it was like throwing their heart and their God away. And he was trying to inspire them to overthrow the idea of this constitution and American materialism and help him bring us back to a place where the emperor is our living God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then three things in a row happened. First, they couldn't hear him. And they were just...
Second, you're doing a coup d'etat.
This is such cruel reality. They couldn't hear him, and then they started being able to hear him, and they were, like, really puzzled. And then everything I read about it said... Once they processed what he was saying, they all were basically just like, boo! just like rejected what he said entirely and started mocking him. The things that they yelled at him were come down. Come down from there.
He starts getting heckled.
Loser!
Like a comic. On stage, his act sucks. And he's like, airplane footage. Hey, shut the fuck up, man.
You suck.
You're terrible.
They were yelling, come down from there, madman and asshole at him. They were just yelling at him that he was an asshole. which is so like it
Like, of course that happens to a suicidal guy. That's like you finally get up the courage to tell your dad you love him, and he's like, you're gay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his whole life was leading up to this. So, okay.
That's actually my favorite memory I've ever had.
Oh, cool.
Me and my dad.
Oh, dang.
It wasn't a dream for me, Dave. It was real.
Wow. That's great, man. No wonder you've never killed yourself.
Yeah, full of dad juice.
So then, apparently shamed, he like walked into the room with the rest of his SHIELD society and committed ritual seppuku, which is, I didn't know this about seppuku, but you like, first you gut yourself, and then there's this person, I want to get these terms right. There's this person appointed, it's called Kaishakunin, the Kaishakunin duty, who like oversees your seppuku, and then after you gut yourself, they decapitate you.
Holy shit, they're the suicide buddy.
They're the Hampton.
We gotta tie
up. Yes.
That's,
and then
so
just
crazy.
Shine on you crazy diamond plays for the rest of the episode. Yeah, man.
You have a person help you out. They have to be okay with chopping off a head.
Yes.
Which is a pretty fucking ISIS move.
Dude.
Pre-ISIS.
Which also means that they went into this knowing that that was them. That's what they were going to do.
Oh, right.
They had at least planned that part.
Well, if you're planning a coup d'etat, you know things could go.
It might go wrong. Yeah.
It could go south. You know? We're just going to tie up the guy, go make a speech,
and then everyone will love us.
I want to know what, like, the cartoon bubble in his head was like. Everyone's just like got him on his shoulders, like, yay!
Yeah.
Mifune is cool.
President Mishima. President God Mishima. Put him in the palace.
That's
okay.
Terrible.
So I guess the sequence of events was he came in, he kneeled down, he gutted himself, and then ordered the guy who was appointed, Masakatsu Morita, to decapitate him.
Oh, he's famous.
Yeah, Pat Morita from Karate Kid.
Oh, God.
Apparently, he, like, fucked up how he gutted himself. He, like, sliced his stomach open, and it, like, wasn't clean. It was just, he just straight up disemboweled himself.
Gross.
And so, Morita, that guy who was cutting his head, his hands were shaking. I never found out why. Someplace, it seemed to think that it was because of the disemboweling.
I think it's literally hard to chop off someone's head. It's so jarring, the idea that you're going to have to do
totally
that.
But I also like to think that maybe he was just grossed out. And he was like, ew.
He started thinking about a girl he likes. He's like, what if she says no? He just gets really nervous.
No, but you're right. It's because it's horrifying to cut your friend's head off.
Yeah. It's definitely, at that point, the coup d'etat is done.
Yeah, dude.
It's everything you thought was going to happen in the thought bubble.
Next chapter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy goes to cut his head off. And his hands are shaking so much that he fucks up cutting his head off. He tries to cut his head off like a few times, and he can't do it. So he hands it off to another member of the SHIELD Society who successfully cuts his head off. And then because Morita failed, he then kneels down and kills himself.
Whoa!
And then that other dude successfully cuts his head off.
Dude, that guy who's good at cutting off heads, he sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a badass. Yeah. And that guy's name was Vin Diesel.
And that little boy,
grew up to be Hillary Clinton.
That is
yeah. So,
crazy. But also, isn't it so embarrassing? Like, that literally has to be one of the most embarrassing things
to
fuck up, killing your friend, and then you got to do the whole like, can you open this jar
can
for
you
me?
Do it? Yeah.
Can you do it?
Oh my god!
And the guy's got like huge biceps, and he's like, of course I can.
It's also funny to like
so cool, Rick.
We're listing these events, and I'm hearing them said out loud out of my mouth, and they're so horrifying. But if you take a step back and think about just the amount of like flubbering that happened in this historical moment, he went out and he was like, friends, come country. With me. And they were like, you're a loser. And then he walked inside, stabbed himself wrong, got his head cut off wrong so badly that the guy was like, kill me. And then all that's left is one guy who's like, well, I just decapitated two of my friends.
That sounds like the worst like gig that's ever happened.
No shit. Talk about bombing. Wow.
Be you.
Yeah, that's probably what somebody in the crowd yelled out. It's kill yourself.
Kill yourself, dude.
You just feel really sad.
Well, you know I was going to. This is Japan.
Wow, so this is too deep to maybe you know, but like does his family like react like to this whole thing, this coup d'etat,
Man, that's interesting. I didn't read anything about that.
See,
I mean, it became like,
look, he tried to overthrow the government. His best friend had to slice off his head. He fucked up that. But he wasn't gay.
It's like all this other stuff is a matter of public record. It is just as bad.
That's
funny.
That was his
pussy.
Wife's reaction. But was he gay?
No, he loved pussy.
Yeah, he loved pussy.
His last words were, I love pussy.
He loved pussy so much he killed himself.
That's awful with the stabbing.
Dude.
That's also the part of a seppuku I've always had the most trouble with. Is like,
how do you do it?
You're getting your head cut off. Why do you need to disembowel yourself?
Yes.
Which is one of the most painful stabbings that can happen.
I think the honor in it is that you are inflicting the pain upon yourself.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're like, I'm killing myself. I will bleed out. But just in a matter of time and dignity, now
yes.
You just take it.
I did it.
Just
now
do
help
it.
Me out.
Yeah, help me out.
Right.
Right? That makes sense.
But it's also interesting to put within this suicide tradition the possibility of another person killing themselves, you know?
Yeah, that, right. Like, if they fuck it up.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like, don't fuck it up.
Like, can you imagine trying to chop through Henry Rollins' neck? And it's just like, takes a week.
Shit.
It.
God,
yeah.
So good. He pulls out like a bandsaw. There are so many essays and books written about his suicide because he was like a big figure mm-hmm. in Japanese culture.
Yeah.
He
was up for a peace prize, right?
Yeah, three times.
I mean, that guy kills himself.
Right?
That's weird, right? It's like, I don't know. It is that sort of thing of like, to be fair, it's like we really do have to like back up a little bit and maybe just say that like, you know, if he didn't kill himself, he just committed a military coup. This guy's going to prison for fucking life. He'll
right.
probably be beaten and like tortured right. and shit. Like, you know, it's not going to be pleasant. So, I mean,
it's also just so unfortunate to me that, I mean, look, yeah. I can't judge another. Am I cutting you off?
No, I just had a thought. Go on. No, go on, please.
I don't want to judge another culture mm-hmm. that I did not, I was never once a part of.
Yeah.
But like, it is so sad to have a rule that you die if you make a mistake. That just sucks, man. That's not good for humanity. And I feel like that says a lot
winners.
About humanity in general.
It's just winners left, then. It's only people who win and succeed.
Right, exactly. That's the thought, right?
I hope not.
I hope
yeah,
not,
I know,
too.
Right?
I mean, don't dishonor your family. That's a very similar thought to only winners left.
Well, the thing I was thinking of is like the mentality of suicide. Even when it's in this structured environment of like military and honor and, you know, killing yourself because of a coup d'etat, you know, it's like
yeah.
these pretty almost logical sort of things. But I think about like people who say are like kind of a awful, like let's say a pedophile who has murdered and, you know, raped children or something. That guy goes to prison. He doesn't kill himself.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
That's true.
Is it that, you know, some people have the ability, you know what I mean? It's almost like under no conditions, some people they won't kill themselves. But there is some people who are like, you know what? Worst case scenario, the military coup doesn't work out. We're all just going to kill ourselves.
Yeah. Like, and that'd be fine.
He clearly I've
always
made plans
wanted to.
Ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, he's kind of okay with it mentally. He kind of was like,
I want this thing. If it doesn't work out and everyone doesn't think I'm cool, I'm gonna
fucking there are a lot myself. Of people that said that he had wanted it for a long time and that he'd like been planning it for years. That he told his Shield Society about it, and he'd been like that the coup d'etat was almost an excuse for him to kill himself rather than the coup d'etat being the plan. Yeah, totally.
If you led other people on your suicide mission because you're just like, I hate my life,
yeah,
dad sucks, my mom sucks,
yeah, it was like a cult in a way, maybe.
That's kind of what it sounds like, because it's like you're trying to basically, I mean, is that any different than people who are like, you know, Trump is an incredible American. Like, right. It's like, what view of reality are you getting where you're like, I think the emperor should be God? You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think there's elements of, like, a distorted belief system in our own society, but that it's such a huge thing to try and get people on board with.
It's very interesting, too. I'm very curious where that comes from, because especially coming from a writer, a pained gay writer,
yeah,
who clearly he's connected with a lot of people, gay for pain. Hi, I'm gay for pain. For his perspective on the world to be, our leader is our God, for that to be the thing he mm-hmm. is focused on, I just don't have anything like that in my brain. I don't at all. Uh-huh. I want us all to find a way to be a world together. I really do.
Well, I would say, well, that's true, but like, say, like, don't you feel like depression has a way of just warping your brain?
Sure.
And getting you to think certain things are just life and death important. You know, like, you're like, my relationship isn't working. I'm not saying you personally, but like, say, like, you just get pent up. Like, this relationship isn't working. I feel so sad. I should kill myself. You know what I mean? Like, that's a distorted worldview.
Absolutely.
Because you could easily be like, just get out of the relationship, man. Like,
well, it's the same thing as what I was saying earlier about seppuku in general being about you make a mistake and you kill yourself. That's kind of like what I think a great deal of suicide is. It's so important to you to be whatever version of good. Mm-hmm. And then if you fuck up at all, you're like, well, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
Rather than just like being a little nice to yourself and, you know, letting yourself know that it's going to be okay. Other people aren't judging you as harshly as you're judging yourself. Never.
Yeah. It's like, let's say the thing that they're most concerned about is dishonor to their family's name, their legacy, right?
Right.
And it's like, in a way, I think in the Western culture, we also feel that way. It's like, what? I'm going to be pissing off my legacy, you know, if I kill myself. Or, you know, it's almost like the reverse version. But it's also like, who are you, man? Like, what is this obsession with, like,
your legacy.
My legacy, my family name?
You're fucking dead, man. Like, seriously.
Exactly.
It's like you just wanted to have, like, a book a lot of people read.
Yeah, what are you going to have to argue with people after? Are you going to have to explain yourself to your family after? And be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Do you really wish you were Van Gogh? Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's a horrifying thought to me. Here's some interesting stuff too. These are the names of his essays before he died. The Sword or the Flower, How Should a Man Live in the Troubled 1970s? He participated in He participated in a panel discussion entitled Cut Open Your Stomach, a Sweeping Criticism of the General Condition.
He also wrote A Million Little Pieces.
I don't understand that joke. I don't know what A Million Little Pieces
book
is.
Where that guy who was on Oprah and he lied about like his experiences. Oh. I was just joking that he wrote like a super famous book.
This guy's name was Rachel Dolezal. I'm just going to read this. The last passage. Apparently a part of seppuku is you write a series of death poems.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he like turned in the last passage of his last book the morning the day he died. And this was the poem. Storm winds at night blow, the message that to fall before the world and before men, by whom falling is dreaded, is the mark of a flower. That's the last thing he wrote.
I don't get it either.
Storm winds at night. Okay, we'll go line by line.
Is he comparing life to a flower?
Storm winds at night blow.
Yeah.
The message that to fall before the... Oh, I'll read it as a sentence, maybe. Storm winds at night blow the message that to fall before the world and before men by whom falling is dreaded is the mark of a flower. I'm not reading
it
in...
That's a, basically a suicide note.
Right.
And it is beautiful, but it also, to us, makes very little sense.
To fall before the world and before men by whom falling is dreaded. Oh, yeah, he's saying that dying in front of the world and people who think, who fear dying is beautiful.
Yeah, killing yourself. Dude is suicidal. That dude is truly on the very end of the suicide thought line.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
He's been thinking about it for a long, long time.
Yeah, where then you start to make it, you go, you know what? It'll actually be kind of beautiful. I'll actually be kind of awesome and super cool. And people will think I'm really awesome.
Do you think that there are any suicides in history? I was looking around for this and couldn't find any. Do you think there was ever a seppuku where like 15 people in a row fucked up?
It goes all down the line.
They're like, oh.
This has been going on for years. The one suicide 70 years ago that got fucked up.
The famous Kyoto suicide filibuster.
Yeah, they're all losers. I mean, if you can't cut off a head, I mean,
what's wrong with you?
You should kill yourself. You're clearly gay. You're clearly, clearly very weak.
You're clearly gay.
You can't cut off your buddy's head. It's probably because you want to kiss it so bad. What are you in love with your friend? Dave, I would cut your head off.
Okay, thank you.
If you stabbed yourself in the belly and you're like,
do it.
This hurts worse than a million ice cream headaches. So you gotta help me.
Do it.
I would, out of pity, I'd be like, of course, dude, I'll gladly cut off your head.
And that's why we're the Suicide Buddies.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. Could you kill someone? Could you, like, you know, in a suicide way? I'm not saying, like, malicious. I'm saying, like, assisted suicide.
Could I do it?
Yeah, could you say, even the lightest version, no swords. Could you, like, you know, help somebody who's an invalid, can't kill themselves.
Unplug or whatever?
They want to die. What
did you say? Unplug. What's pull the plug? That's what it's called.
I said unemployed.
Unemployed. Like, what? Like unemployed? Like a loser?
Just
like
kill
someone
yourself.
Who lost their job at a factory.
Oh my God.
Can't feed their kids. Like assholes.
No, because I've always said, I've been like, it's fine. But I don't think I could do it.
It would be really, really hard, you know, but I would do it. I'm confident that I could do it.
Really?
I want to do it. I would love to.
No,
thinking about it. Well, because like...
You better, dude. We're
I feel about life that like what people ask for is what you should listen to people, I guess. You should really, really try to listen to people and not lean on social norms over what people want for themselves, as long as it doesn't affect others.
Yeah.
And if someone is truly, earnestly, that I love telling me they're in pain and their life is awful and they really need to go.
Yeah.
What I would be deciding between would be letting them go for them or making them stay for me.
Yeah.
And that feels really unfair.
Yeah, it's an unfair position to put people in.
It would be fucked up, and it would really ruin my day.
So you had a bad day. You had a bad day. You had a bad day. And you had a bad... I'm like singing that song as I'm imagining a line of Japanese people chopping into each other's necks. And it's like it goes on for miles.
Dude, yeah.
It's like Hands Across America, but in Japan it's people chopping off heads.
That monk who set himself on fire. Mm-hmm. A video of that just with... So you had a bad day.
Oh, go in it now. The government
woman
Yeah.
I bet it'd be so funny if he could come back to life to just be like, I hate Rage Against the Machine. He's like, they are so bad. You guys like to be like, that is truly the worst music I've ever heard.
I love Nickelback. Have you heard?
Puddle of Mud.
This is my favorite song. I'm a bitch.
Is it kind of weird that America doesn't have any like suicide rituals? There's no sense.
Is it weird?
I'm being serious. Like, there's really no sense of honor here. There's nothing that serious where culturally people will look at you weird if you didn't kill yourself. And I know that's not really going on in Japan now, but I'm just saying, like, there was a time and place where it's like, you know.
Well, but were there other cultures where suicide specifically was tied into honor?
I don't think so, man. Yeah. I think it's there.
I do,
you know,
think that our lack of focus on honor is odd because we used to have it. It used to be like if you were the one guy who didn't sign up for the army in World War II, Everyone would be like, fuck you, man. You're an asshole.
That guy went in Japan, like, kill himself.
Yeah, totally.
It's like no one's getting out of service there. Everyone's just enlisted,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, Klingons, they got that honor
Klingons.
Culture. They're the only other honor culture I know of.
So it's this kind of podcast.
I'm sorry. I take it fully back.
Hampton's going to bring up Klingons at least one time an episode.
Come on, guys.
Man, Hampton, that was so much fun, dude.
That was interesting to learn about, man. Thanks for bringing that in. I'll try and bring you a nice
pick
story
one you like.
Next time.
We're going to do this every week. One story of suicide in history. We're going to do some big ones for sure. We'll do Hitler. We'll do Kurt Cobain. We'll do Sylvia Plath. Mm-hmm. Probably Elliot Smith at some point.
We got to save those big boys.
Totally. We want to, like, there's so many that we don't know anything about. I want to talk about a few of those first.
What's this guy's name again?
Mishima. Yukio Mishima.
Look up his books. You know what I mean? If we could turn you on to the work of this
amazing,
incredibly sensitive and creative soul, I think that would be important. You know, that's really his life's work. Don't remember him for his clumsy, ill-thought-out death and military coup. Remember him for his gay literature that won Peace Prizes.
It seems like his most known books are Confessions of a Mask and The Temple of the Golden Pavilion. But there was specifically a book about about homosexuality or about sexuality in general.
I couldn't even write a paragraph.
You couldn't even write a paragraph.
Feels good when I come.
I love it when women touch my penis. Forbidden Colors.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Suicide Buddies. We appreciate you and we care about you. So if you are ever having suicidal thoughts, we do take it seriously and we would prefer that you go get help. Please call the number 1-800-273-TALK right now if you can. They're great. They will help. Suicide is not your only option. You are cared for. And thank you for listening. And see you on the next Suicide Buddies. Say Seinfeld was on an island and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I'd love having you.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.